leader. I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. Ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Air Force. There's no one.
Yo! Welcome back to the Fix. Yeah. Your radio sports podcast. I don't know why I said. Yo, I'm excited for your Black Sports Podcast. We are the realest and the blackest sports podcast on the airwaves. I am your host, Joseph Ward. And once again, like I said, welcome back to the Fix, where you can get your weekly fix on sports from a black perspective. Yeah. We got a whole lot to get into today. And but first, before we get into anything, you know, I want to give shout out to our sponsors On the Shoulders of Giants. And I'm going to do a little housekeeping. So the Fix is sponsored by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants delivers African history at your fingertips through books, blogs, apps, and presentations, lectures. Come to your classrooms, your family reunion, all those things. Making sure African history is relevant and available for you. So make sure that you visit www.ontheshoulders.org to visit their website. And also www.ontheshoulders1.com. And since On the Shoulders of Giants is mine, my new book is available. On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 2, Central America, on both websites. Once again, www.ontheshoulders.org and www.ontheshoulders1.com. You make sure you go pop my book. We got books, t-shirts, apps, everything for you on the Shoulders of Giants. Hey, make sure that you follow the Freedom Train on Twitter at Freedom Train Net. Follow the Freedom Train on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Like the Freedom Train Facebook page, right? Now, the Freedom Train podcast series is actually available on iTunes and Google Play. The Fix will be available on iTunes and Google Play soon, so make sure you tune in, you stay tuned, where you can be down with the Fix, be down with the Freedom Train Network, because we are expanding. And, you know, it's media designed to free our black minds, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Hey, I'm in Florida, Hurricane Irma coming, and we just getting ready. So we ain't going to let Irma mess us up and all that, though. Money still got to be made. Things still have to happen. The black community is still on the fire. But we're not taking Irma lightly. So I'm in Tallahassee, Florida. We keeping an eye on Irma. She's supposed to be hitting later on tonight, early in the morning. So y'all have us in y'all prayers. I had a whole state of Florida and and in prayers, because Irma out here tripping. But enough of that. Boom, 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 boom. Let's go ahead and get into it. So you know how we do. Second episode of The Fix. Once again, you with your homeboy, Joseph Ward, a.k.a. Slim Jennings, a.k.a. Slim with the tilted brim, a.k.a. that dude that you saw sneaking out your mama's back door. I said it. So let's start with our HBCU spotlight today, because, you know, we got to give love to HBCUs. I'm an HBCU grad. I went to Florida A&M University, the Florida A&M University. So let's get into it. Our spotlight today is going to be on our game between Tennessee State and Jackson State. Hey, man, it turned out to be an actual thriller, which Tennessee State ended up winning. Now, what's interesting about Tennessee State If you've been following the Florida Gators for the last couple of years, you know about a young man named Treon Harris. And, yeah, if Treon Harris on your team, yeah, you want to be nervous because y'all might lose the game if Treon Harris on your team. But Tennessee State actually pulled out a victory. So my man Treon Harris actually led the Tigers to a, like I said, slim victory, 17-15 win. And the game was actually sealed by Patrick Smith, who had a 56-yard punt return for a touchdown. And also, Laquarius Cook broke a potential tying two-point conversion in the closing minutes to help Tennessee State hold off Jackson State to cap their 17-15 win in the Liberty Bowl. So, it went down at HBCU land. Like I say, hey man, you got Treon Harris on your team and you win. You have to be excited that you actually win a game with Treon Harris. Like I say, I'm from the state of Florida. We like football and Treon just was horrible for them Gators. But let me give you some stats. So Treon went 5 for 17 for 78 yards in the pick. Yeah, okay. So that's Tennessee State. Jackson State's quarterback, Mr. Lyles, went 24-49 for 196 yards and two picks. All right, so as far as rushing, Treon Harris had 11 carries for 91 yards and the touchdown, his longest run was 26 yards. Mr. Rowland from Tennessee State had 10 carries for 36 yards. They had another running back, Harrison, had 9 carries for 16 yards. S. Curtis Jr. had 4 carries for 15 yards, and S. Newbold had 1 carry for 2 yards. While on the Jackson State side, the quarterback, V. Lyles, had 13 carries for 55 yards, no touchdowns. It seems like Jackson State didn't score any touchdowns, just all special teams in this game. And, yeah, if you just special team, that's how you lose the game. But also turnovers was the name of the game. Interceptions, and basically 2 interceptions by Tennessee State, 1 by Jackson State. There were a couple of fumbles. Tennessee State lost 1 fumble. It was 2 total fumbles by Tennessee State, 1 total fumble by Jackson State. Jackson State was able to recover, but in the end, it was the kicking game that came through for both teams. As far as Tennessee State, Their kicking game, as far as their extra points, they went 2 for 2 for extra points. Jackson State, A. Salazar went 1 for 1 at 25-yard field goal. C. Jockman, he missed his only field goal attempt, so the team went 1 for 2, 50% on field goals. And that was the name of the game. If Jackman would have made his second, or the field goal that he attempted, actually Jackson State would have came out on top. It was wasn't the best game, but exciting nonetheless, and it's part of our HBCU spotlight, so we give our shouts out to Tennessee State for going into the game and coming out victorious over Jackson State. Hey, in the 17-15 stunner for our HBCU update. You know what I'm saying? Because we got to get love to the HBCUs. Now, Howard Bison last week, you know, they defeated UNLV. Now, the Howard Bison led by Caleb Newton this week almost defeated Kent State. You know, Kent State got their ass whooped last week by Clemson. And so Kent State, I'm guessing they wanted to come in and get a victory. But Kent State almost lost to the Howard Bison. So you might want to keep your eye on the Howard Bison. Also, give you an update on the teams down here in Florida. Of course, you know the game. Florida A&M was off this week. Any games between Bethune-Cookman in the upcoming days, weeks, Saturdays will be moved because of Hurricane Irma. But keep your eye on the Howard Bison. Keep your eye on the FAMU Rattlers too. FAMU Rattlers look good. I had a chance to see their first 2 games. They look pretty good. I mean, of course, they play Arkansas. You know that's going to lose against Arkansas, but FAMU's not there just like laying down, just letting Arkansas run over them, even though Arkansas did run over them. They didn't just let Arkansas run over them. Arkansas just enforced their will. But, you know, just keep an eye on them Rattlers. And speaking of them Rattlers,
Yeah, I got a bone to pick with the sports world. I got a bone to pick with NFL Hall of Fame and all that thing and all that stuff there. But it's another reminder of why we should have our own league, our own professional leagues as far as the sports, and have our own Hall of Fames. Because this is part of my campaign for Ken Riley Sr. Now, if you don't know who Ken Riley Sr. is, Ken Riley Sr. is tied for fifth on the all-time interceptions list in the NFL. Charles Woodson just tied him within his last year for fifth on the all-time interception list. Now, it's no question that Charles Woodson is going into the list. It's no question that people who are ranked below Charles Woodson is going into the Hall of Fame off that list. But Ken Riley has been on that list for a while. And the man has 65 career interceptions. Let me say that again. He has 65 career interceptions, and he's not in the NFL Hall of Fame. That's some bull to me. That's a whole lot of bull to me that Ken Riley not in the Hall of Fame. And for me, I've been campaigning for this for about 10 years. Of course, people are going to say, you lying. You ain't been campaigning about this for 10 years. But I ain't been on social media for 10 years, so it ain't like I've been all out in the wind. When I am on social media, I don't be all like that. But this is something that's been on my mind, and I've been talking about, I've been talking to other people about for the last 10 years. So let's look at it. Ken Riley came into the league in 1969. He actually played with the Cincinnati Bengals. He graduated from Florida A&M University, right? 15 seasons. So his rookie year, he had four interceptions. So, and I'm giving you all the interceptions by years. His first year, four interceptions, 1969. 1970, four interceptions. 1971, five interceptions. 1972, three interceptions. 1973, two interceptions. 74, five interceptions. 75, six interceptions. 76, nine interceptions. 77, two interceptions. 78, three interceptions. 71, one interception. 83 interceptions. 81, five interceptions. 82, five interceptions. And his last year with the Bengals, his last year in the league, 1983, he had eight interceptions. He had five total touchdowns, two total touchdowns in 83, one touchdown in 82, one in 76, and one in 75. I mean, I don't know. I mean, to me, like a career average, he would average about five picks. His career average should be at least five picks a year. You know, if you want to average all the numbers out, just going off the broad what I'm looking at. And Ken Riley was a cornerback who, if you threw the ball his way, he was going to pick that thing. And, okay, so let's look at it. In 82, he only played nine games in 82, and he had five picks. 83, only played 14 games, had eight picks. You know, we're talking about his last 2 years. Come on, man. So there's a campaign to get the push to get Ken Riley into the Hall of Fame. So if you go to Facebook and you type in Ken Riley for Hall of Fame, there's a whole page and everything dedicated to the push to getting Ken Riley into the Hall of Fame. I say you be a part of it, but I also say it's a part of a greater theme of us being able to look at us creating our own lanes for our athletes. Like, one of the things that get me is we complain about the NFL while at the same time preparing the next generation to be in the NFL. Because we continue to believe that football, basketball, and sports and entertainment are our only ways out of the hood. We got damn brains. We have brains. Let's start cultivating the genius within our children. I don't have a problem with playing football, but let's start cultivating the genius in our children, because our children need to be owning things. Our children need to be controlling things when they become adults. They don't need to be further a part of a system. We don't need to be brainwashing our children and teaching them to be a part of the system. Hey, man, like, I don't have a problem with your boy Ben Simmons. I don't have a problem with the balls and what they did. Hey, the system going to use you, use them. The NCAA is full of crap. The NCAA is full of crap. And it's so close so close to indentured servitude. Hell, it is partly, basically, indentured servitude. Because let me look at this. Let me lay this on you. Because this some science that my pops dropped on me a little minute ago, a while ago. I was 18 because I played football in high school. I was good. I was damn good. Now, the only reason I didn't play in college because I didn't understand the system. I ain't nobody, no parent house. I ain't know nothing. I didn't know how to make stuff happen, and I wasn't highly recruited, right? So, my mom said, son, don't get no athletic scholarship. Get an academic scholarship and walk on. If you're good, you're going to play. But as an academic scholarship, you have your freedom. I thought my pops was crazy. I'm like, man, who don't want no scholarship? Who don't want an athletic scholarship? I wasn't getting the science that he was spitting. What he was talking about is, if you get an athletic scholarship, your freedom is you have the ability to earn. College athletes do not have the ability to earn. I was listening to the radio, and dude was basically breaking it down. So that's just random name, Tyquan Lewis, random football name, right? So Tyquan Lewis walking down the street, and Coach Jimmy Johnson seeing him, and hey, Tyquan, how you doing? What's up, Coach? What's going on, Tyquan? How can I assist you? You need a ride or something? Well, I can't take a ride with you, Coach, because that's it. It's NCAA violation. Well, what can I do for you? Well, I am kind of hungry. Well, I'll go buy you some chips and a hot dog. And Coach go buy him some chips and a hot dog. He come back, and he gives Tyquan chips and a hot dog. Now, it was $5 he spent for the chips and hot dog. Tyquan got to pay him back. You can't just graciously give NCAA athletes things because of the NCAA rules, and they are basically slaves. So let me put this in another perspective. If I'm a music student and I'm on scholarship versus an athlete or football player that's on scholarship, the football player is bringing in millions of dollars, the music student not. The music student is great, the football player is great, but the football, just by the nature of the sports and the way things are set up, the football player is bringing in more money than the music student. But the music student, as a scholarship person, as a person who's on scholarship, whose schooling is being paid for, that student can earn off their name, their likeness, and their talent. The football player cannot earn off their name, their likeness, and their talent. Black people, let's stop forcing our kids into sports with nothing to help them with. Like, if they're going to play sports, they're going to play sports. But at least equip them enough academically to be able to get an academic scholarship, walk on, and play football. Hell, if your child is good, if your child one of the best players in the nation, and the coaches will not stop them from walking on, because the coaches will get fired before they not allow top players to come to their schools. But the academic scholarship allows them more freedom to be able to earn and live. Like Johnny Manziel got in trouble for Terrell Pryor, all these cats got in trouble for selling their autographs and selling memorabilia and trophies and stuff. If you're not on athletic scholarship, you can earn as much money off your name, your likeness, and your talent as you want to. I just want to put that little nugget in there while we're talking about football and while we're talking about all this other stuff. But, and I know I drifted a little bit off from Ken Riley. I know, hell, man, this is the type, it's going to happen on this show. This is the fix. This is how we get down on the fix. Just ride with me, man. Just ride with me. But remember, go to Facebook.com, and it's the page Ken Riley for Hall of Fame. Make sure you go check that out. Support Ken Riley. 65 career interceptions. His last year, he had 8 interceptions. I'm just saying, they're tripping. They ain't got my man in the Hall of Fame. Ken Riley should be in the Hall of Fame. So I just want to put that on y'all brain and support. Oh yeah, support HBCU sports. Support HBCU everything. Let's start supporting our HBCUs and also holding our HBCUs accountable for supporting the communities as well. It's a two-way street. We as a community need to hold ourselves accountable, make sure we support these HBCUs, and we need to hold these HBCUs accountable for supporting our community. And one thing I having conversations with white people and certain people about, and black people who ain't never been to HBCU. How you black And you ain't never been to a HBCU football game. Like, come on. Now, the way I explain it, if you've never been to a HBCU football game and you black, you tripping. You're missing a good time. It's like a cookout with football, right? And I don't want to diminish the football game because I personally enjoy football. So, for me, the HBCU football games are amazing because you get football on one end and you at a party. And then halftime, the band's going to go in. So, it's an event. Yeah, okay, people going to put on their best. People going to have on their club outfits and they're going to come out there stunting and flogging and flossing and all that stuff there. Yeah, and it might be a little too high at a lot of these games for that. But still, it's a good time. Let old girl sweat her makeup off. Let that dude sweat the Beijing out of his head. It's all good. The only thing is making sure that you don't drink and fall out. Because I remember growing up going to these FAMU games, people being drunk, pissy drunk in the middle of the day, 3 o'clock game, they falling out. And one more time while we on HBCUs, I want to give a shout out to a FAMU legend, Pee Wee, who passed away a couple days ago. And if you're from FAMU and you grew up on FAMU, you know who Pee-wee was. But when halftime came, it wasn't just the band's time. It was Pee-wee's time. So Pee-wee was an old lady who used to go out there and dance with the band. She used to go out there and do her thing. The only person who was allowed to just walk on the field, like she would literally just get up and just walk on the field. And there ain't nobody do nothing about it. Security is nothing. She had a little taste or two. Went out there and walked on the field and she danced. And the band, everybody was so used to it growing up that the band just went around her. Like, she literally be, like, in the middle of the field, like, just doing it. Just imagine Stanky legging out there in the middle of the field just getting it. And nobody cared. It was a great part of the halftime show, the atmosphere, the culture. So if you've never been to an HBCU game, you need to go. And specifically, go to a FAMU HBCU game. That back street with all that food and these turkey legs and all that. I'm telling you, man. I done got hungry thinking about it. Hopefully Irma don't mess too much up, so we don't be without power up in these areas, and we can have our black college football back. But I just want to put that on your mind, man. College football, man. Black college football is bite. So taking a break from football, and I want to put some shine on the ladies. I watch the WNBA. My favorite player right now is Maya Moore. My favorite player of all time is Cynthia Cooper. I also like Teresa Witherspoon, Sheryl Swoopes, Tina Thompson, Lisa Leslie. I think Sheryl Miller is the greatest female basketball player of all time and one of the greatest basketball players, period, of all time. I see Diana Taurasi trying to come for her crown. I see you, Taurasi. I see you. Then we got it's just a lot of good stars in the WNBA that I think are being overlooked. Of course, you know Brittany Griner. Of course, you know Diana Taurasi, Maya Moore. It's like Lindsey Whalen is great. I'm forgetting other young lady's name that's on the Minnesota Lynx. But right now, that's the team I'm rooting for, the Minnesota Lynx. But I think more people should watch and support the WNBA. So if you didn't know, the WNBA, their playoffs, the 2017 playoffs have started, and the first round has already been completed, and it's a single elimination. So we had games between the Seattle Storm and the Phoenix Mercury, as well as the Dallas Wings and the Washington Mystics. So the results of the first round were the Phoenix Mercury defeating the Seattle Storm, which I expected. Brittany Griner, I think Taurasi is hurt. I may be wrong, but I think Taurasi is hurt. But Brittany Griner being able to lead the team. So Phoenix Mercury had a 79-69 win over the Seattle Storm. And I told you, single elimination. So the Mercury moved on to the second round, while the Washington Mystics defeated the Dallas Stars 86-76. And the Washington Mystics move on to the second round to face the New York Liberty. And so today is Sunday. So you have the Phoenix Mercury against the Connecticut Sun at 3 p.m. Then you have the Washington Mystics against the New York Liberty at 5 p.m. Both of those games will be coming on ESPN2, so make sure you check those out. And the winner of those games, and those games are also single elimination, the winner of those games will move on to the semifinals. And the winner of the Washington Mystics, New York Liberty, will face Minnesota Lynx and my wife, Maya Moore. And then the winner of the Phoenix Mercury and the Connecticut Sun will go face the Los Angeles Sparks. I'm expecting a Los Angeles Sparks-Minnesota Lynx collision in the finals. They met last year, I believe. I could be off. But that's always an exciting matchup between the Sparks and the Lynx. Those two colliding, Candace Parker, Maya Moore. For me as a dude, they look good. Yeah, I said it. They look good, but I enjoy the level of basketball. I just really enjoy it. So make sure y'all check out WNBA. Support our black women. Support y'all. Always talking about y'all love black women. Support our black women. Support WNBA. People say, well, the WNBA is boring. It ain't boring. It's really not. It's really great basketball. Like, WNBA is really, really great basketball. So make sure y'all check that out. You know, that's what you need to do. So let's get back on the football thing. Let's talk about a little more football, what's going on in the world. So week two of college football is back, and week one was pretty good, and so week two was a little better. Of course, you know, I'm here in Tallahassee, so Florida State Seminoles reside here, and Florida State Seminoles had a loss to Alabama. But the biggest loss was the quarterback, DeAndre Francois. So Florida State has to move forward with the freshman quarterback that everybody says is pretty good. Everybody's they're up on his leadership and his confidence and his moxie and everything that he brings. But we're going to see how the Florida State Seminoles move going forward. But right now, the ACC looks like it belongs to Clemson. But let me go ahead and give you a little recap on the scores from this past week. So this Friday, Oklahoma State put that thing on South Alabama. The score was actually 44-7. South Alabama actually scored in the fourth quarter. Oklahoma State, and they just did their thing. So, yesterday, Alabama played Fresno State. And, of course, Alabama been the top seed. Being who they are, they ran through Fresno State 41-10. Now, Fresno State has a pretty good quarterback. And I actually watched a little bit of this game. They got a pretty good quarterback, pretty good coaching system. So keep your eye on Fresno State. I'm not saying they're going to be like some powerhouses, but just keep your eye on the quarterback. He might be all right. So Oklahoma and Baker Mayfield went into the horseshoe in Ohio State, and they dropped their nuts on them, straight up. 31-16 was the final score. Baker Mayfield, at the end of the game, took the Oklahoma flag, flying it around, ran to the middle field, planted the flag in the middle of the O, and he said that that was his statement to the Ohio State team being able to sing this song in the Oklahoma Stadium last year. And of course, you know, Oklahoma has their new head coach, the 33-year-old young man who replaced Bob Stoops. So right now, Oklahoma is looking good. Alabama looking good. Oklahoma looking good. And our number 13, Clemson. Clemson might be the best team in the nation right now. Clemson is playing exceptionally well, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They shut down Auburn. Auburn couldn't do anything. Basically, Auburn only resulted to two field goals, one in the first quarter, one in the second quarter. Other than that, they couldn't do anything. Now, Clemson's offense wasn't excellent. It wasn't. Their running game was okay, but the offense wasn't excellent. Scoring one touchdown in the second quarter, one third quarter. Like I said, 14-6 victory. Their defense did a great job of holding off Auburn. A lot of people thought that this would be a defining game for Clemson. Clemson stepped up. Stepped up to the plate, and they handled their business, and their defense came to play. Now, next week, Clemson plays Louisville and Lamar Jackson. I expect Clemson to come away with the win, and I fully expect Clemson's defense to dominate Louisville. I expect Louisville's porous defense to continue to be porous, and I expect Clemson's tough defense to step up to the plate, smack Lamar Jackson in the mouth. I don't expect them to stop him, but I do expect Clemson to come away with the victory. All right, our number 14, Penn State, rose over Pittsburgh 33-14. Pitt came in, an ACC opponent came in to pose a challenge, and Penn State said, move, bitch, get out the way, right? Hey, now also keep your eye on USC. USC out here dropping these beams on people, right? 42-24 over Stanford, right? So Sam Darnold last week, everybody was getting down on Sam Darnold because this offensive line wasn't doing that good, and USC didn't play up to people's standards. This week, they back on Sam Darnold's nuts with his four TD passes as they beat Stanford, and they ran through Stanford, right? Number seven, Washington, put that thing on Montana, 63-7. Michigan beat Cincinnati. Number eight, Michigan beat Cincinnati, 36-14. Number nine, Wisconsin, at home, ran through Florida Atlantic, and they played that game in Wisconsin. That's how that game was able to be played. LSU, number 12, LSU beat Chattanooga, 45-10. Georgia beat Notre Dame. Now, this is a game I was watching a little bit, but I was mostly into that Ohio State, Oklahoma. But Georgia's defense looked good. Georgia's defense looked pretty good. And people are expecting Georgia to actually be the team that come out of the SEC East to challenge Alabama in the SEC championship games. And we're going to see how that goes. But Georgia defeating Notre Dame 20-19. I was watching the last series, the actual play that sealed the game for Georgia when their defensive end came off the top. That right defensive end came off the top. His speed rushed and he used his hands very well. He didn't even allow the offensive lineman to really get his feet set and his hands on him. He turned that corner, got the strip sack. Damn, Georgia recovered it. Hey, couple kneel downs, the game is over. Georgia came out in South Bend, so the SEC still saying, hey, man, we here. Speaking of Louisville, like I did earlier, number 17 Louisville, Lamar Jackson, 6 touchdowns, 3 passing, 3 running, after Buddy from North Carolina told him, he went on record saying Lamar Jackson not going to score, not going to do anything. Lamar Jackson dropping nuts on him. So, yeah, that's how it goes. Virginia Tech is looking very good as well with a 27-0 victory for Delaware, even though we expect them to beat Delaware, that's a money game, but the fact that you blanked them, that's good. Number 19, Kansas State, beat Charlotte 55-7. So, I mean, hey, man, you know, yeah. Boise State barely lost to Washington State. This game was on last night. I was watching a little bit. Washington State won 47, and Boise State put up 44 points, and, hey, they lost. TCU beat Arkansas. 28-7. So Arkansas thought they were bad because they beat FAMU, came in and got blanked. And not blanked, but they got bad with by TCU. It was 25 Tennessee, put up 42 points on Indiana State. And, of course, the Florida State-Louisiana Monroe game was rescheduled. The Miami-Arkansas game was rescheduled. The South Florida-Connecticut game was rescheduled. And the Florida-Northern Colorado game was rescheduled. So NCAA football, man, we got a lot coming up. Like I said, some Clemson, Louisville next week. That'd be one of the exciting matchups to watch. But if I had to go right now, we're talking about college football. The four teams. We're talking about the college football final. My four teams right now, and this is going to change throughout the year. So don't just try to hold me to this. So I would say right now, Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, And USC for right now. Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, and USC. I would say those would be the teams that make the Final Four. Don't hold me to that because it could change. But that's just what I'm thinking right now. I think those four teams are playing the best football right now. USC is not that great against the run. Alabama is not that great against the pass. Oklahoma's defense. I think Clemson is the best overall team so far in the NCAA. I think Clemson has the best overall team and have a good chance of winning back-to-back. Now that Florida State is maybe out of the picture with the injury to DeAndre Francois. I do like Florida State athletes. I like what they bring to the table, but not having Francois is a big shot to Florida State, even though Clemson's quarterback is not that much experience. It's not more experience or that much experience than the quarterback that Florida State would be bringing in. But, hey, you know, it is what it is. So That's college football. That's our college football. That's our college football. So, on to the NFL. Now, let me preface this by saying I did not watch this game. Now, I will be giving y'all NFL updates, but I'm not going to be watching these games. We are taking our stance against the NFL, and I'm going to reiterate my stance. I am not taking a stance against the NFL for Colin Kaepernick to get the job. I'm taking a stance against the NFL because they keep fucking disrespecting us as black people. They want us, they don't respect our humanity. They only respect our athleticism. So the NCAA can kiss my ass too, but the NFL can kiss my ass on that. And I got a whole bunch of rants and other things that I'm going to later about the NFL, but yeah, I didn't watch the game, but we had a game, game one of the NFL, and we had the Patriots against the Chiefs, right? And the Chiefs put that thing on the Patriots, 42-27. So Alex Smith went 28-35 for 368 yards and 4 touchdowns. And I'm gonna say that again, Alex Smith went 28-35 for 368 yards, 4 touchdowns. And he had a QB rating of 90.4, while Tom Brady went 16-36, 267 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times and a QBR of 35. Now, Alex Smith was also sacked 3 times. But the story of this was Kansas City's defense and also the Patriots losing Danny Amendola. When they already lost, not Wes Welker, but the other guy. Why can't I remember his name right now? I have no idea. I'm tripping. But the Patriots number one receiver went out with the knee injury. What is his name? Not Wes Welker. Not Danny Amendola. I'm tripping. But anyway, when his name hit me, and I'm going to be like, oh, I'm tripping. But anyway, as far as rushing, Kansas City, K. Hunt went 17 carries, 148 yards, 1 touchdown. His longest run in the game was 58 yards. West had 21 carries for 1 touchdown. My cousin, Mike Gillisley, for the New England Patriots had 15 carries, 45 yards, 3 touchdowns. And that was pretty much it. White had 10 carries for 38 yards. New England had a total of 124 rushing yards, while Kansas City had a total of 185. So the rushing game wasn't really the big defense. It was that passing game, the big difference, that passing game. Julian Edelman. Oh, yeah. So the Patriots' big loss at receiver was Julian Edelman, their slot receiver, their most experienced receiver. So being without Edelman, then Amendola getting hurt. Let's look at these receiving stats. So before Amendola got hurt within this game with the Chiefs, he had 6 catches for 100 yards. Brandon Cooks had 3 catches for 88 yards. Rob Gronkowski had 2 catches for 33 yards. I think that was one of the biggest things in this game for the Patriots. Gronkowski being limited. Eric Berry, one of my favorite players, Eric Berry did a great job covering and being on Gronkowski. But unfortunately, the Chiefs lost Eric Berry for the season to an Achilles injury. So prayers and shouts out go to Eric Berry. He's one of my favorite players. I've been watching him since Tennessee. I remember his battle going through cancer. Eric Berry is always fighting through things, but Eric Berry might want to get his money and get out of the league. Do not kill yourself and your body for this football league, because the football league don't give a shit about you, especially if you ain't not that buck dancing for them, right? So for the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill, legit a boy, got to be getting 7 catches, 133 yards, and a touchdown. K. Hunt, 5 catches, 98 yards, 2 touchdowns. Travis Kelce only had 5 catches for 40 yards. C. Conley, 2 catches for 43 yards. A. Wilson, 5 catches, 37 yards. So Alex Smith actually spread the ball out to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different receivers. So Alex Smith out there trying to do his best Brady. Look at him. Alex Smith out there doing the thing. So I will have week one NFL scores next show for you, because you know the show is recorded before the actual NFL Sunday games are played, but we will give you a full recap on everything that happens week one in the NFL. But so far, the information we have, only the Thursday night game between the Chiefs and the Patriots, where the Chiefs rolled through the Patriots 42-27. So while we are still talking about football, let's talk about the latest in the Ezekiel Elliott case, right? So Ezekiel Elliott is caught up in a domestic, if you don't know, Ezekiel Elliott is caught up in a domestic violence case, scandal, whatever, with one of his ex-girlfriends. So this girl he used to mess with basically claimed that he beat her up. And this case is kind of crazy because through all the investigations through the legal system, NFL and all these different places, there hasn't been substantial enough information to say that Elliott is guilty of domestic violence against this white girl. Preference. Stop messing with white girls. That's not a preference. I don't know why the hell I said preference. Stop messing with white women. Y'all young black dudes, when you listen to this podcast, I tell you young black men and you young black women, leave them white women alone. Especially if you got money. Just period. Yeah, man, just period. If you're alive, leave them white women alone. But Ezekiel Elliott is being accused of domestic violence against this young white woman. So investigations happened, and it was determined that the young lady, her story was not credible, right? And so, despite all of that, NFL gave Ezekiel Elliott a 6-game suspension. Now, the NFL only gave Ezekiel Elliott this 6-game suspension because they're trying to cover their ass, right? They're trying to repair their reputation because they handled domestic violence situations horribly in the past, because the NFL don't give a shit about domestic violence, and that don't have nothing to do with them. They only care about football and making money, right? The NFL don't care about morals, period, unless it is pertaining to something that taints the shield or taints the image of the NFL. The NFL can kiss ass, right? So he was given a 6-game suspension, and then they went up to appeal it, and then his team was basically pushing for a temporary restraining order. So basically, the latest news is Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott has his request for a temporary restraining order against the pending 6-game NFL suspension granted Friday by United States District Judge Amos L. Manzant III in Texas, right? The MMQB's Albert Beers first reported the news, and ESPN's Josina Anderson provided a copy of the judge's opinion. So this is what Josina Anderson of ESPN provides us. Basically, the United States District Court, Eastern District of Texas, Sherman Davidson, National Football League Players Association, on its own behalf and on behalf of Ezekiel Elliott versus National Football League and the National Football League Management Council. So basically, the memorandum opinion in order pending before the court is petitioner's emergency motion for a temporary restraining order or preliminary injunction. The court has a very limited role in this case. The court is being called upon to determine at this preliminary stage whether Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott or Elliott received a fundamentally fair arbitration hearing. The question of whether there was credible evidence of domestic abuse is not before the court, nor are any of the underlying facts in this dispute between Elliott and the accuser, Tiffany Thompson. That's the young lady's name, Tiffany Thompson or Thompson. Based upon the preliminary injunction standard, the court finds that Elliott did not receive a fundamentally fair hearing necessitating the court grant the request for a preliminary injunction. So basically, Zeke is not suspended for 6 games right now, and the restraining order will last for the length of the trial, for the length of the hearing. So whenever the trial is over and the outcomes, that's when the restraining order will be lifted. So for right now, Ezekiel Elliott can play. So all my fellow Cowboy Nation, yes sir, even though I'm not watching, because I love black people more than I love the NFL and Cowboys. But as a Cowboy fan, I'm excited. Zeke, you go out there against the Giants tonight, and you run it down their throat. Forget the Giants, forget the Eagles, and for most of all, forget the Redskins with the mustard pants. Cowboy Nation is in full effect. We are ready to go. Fuck Dez Bryant. Fuck Jerry Jones. And what's up with Dez Bryant, man? Why are we talking about football? What's up with Dez Bryant? Why is Dez Bryant trying to cape hard for the white folk, right? Why is Dez Bryant doing that? Dez, like, your play ain't been up to par these last couple seasons. You staying injured. And let me give a message to Dez Bryant, Michael Vick, and a lot of you other black players who get in trouble. Y'all little baby Ray Lewis. Hey, when the system breaks you down because you were stupid enough to be a nigga about your actions, right? So when the system breaks you down, when the system gives you your nigga wake-up call, that doesn't mean you turn into a Sambo. That doesn't mean you turn into a mouthpiece for white supremacy to expose all of their bullshit rhetoric. That's not what your job is. Your job is to realize your mistakes and become a better black man, a better asset for the black community, not to be out here trying to down-talk these black players. Dez Bryant, you ain't talking about, don't say nothing else about Colin Kaepernick. LeSean McCoy, don't say nothing else about Colin Kaepernick, all you other sellout players. If you got a problem with what Colin Kaepernick is doing, keep your damn mouth shut. And all you other players who are just sitting out there just letting them talk junk and ain't saying nothing or doing nothing to them, y'all some suckers too. Why are you guys turning your backs on somebody who's standing up for justice for you and your family? Who's the team today? Is the Cleveland Browns? The Cleveland Browns, y'all some suckers. The Cleveland Browns are supposed to lock arms with the police and other officials to show solidarity. Y'all ain't, where's the solidarity with Tamir Rice's family? I'm going to just say that and let that in there. What's the solidarity with Tamir Rice's family? Like, I told y'all last week, these soft-ass gestures don't keep us alive. These soft-ass gestures are not keeping our people alive. Y'all sitting up here trying to show solidarity with the police. The police does not have an alliance with black America. Let me give y'all a quick history lesson, right? The police, or citizens on patrol, were created during slavery to prevent slaves from escaping to freedom. And they were also created for any free black men that they felt like just doing it to capture them, bring them into slavery. They were slave capturers. Their job was to capture black people and enslave them. And that's still what they're doing. Their job is to protect the property of the white people, of the owners, and treat us like crap. That's their job. It's not as the relationship between African people and the police or citizens on patrol has never, ever, ever been favorable. It's always been a messed up relationship from the beginning, and it's not our fault. It's the cops' fault. It's the police fault. The ideologies, they are not for us. They are against us. So when I see you all, the Cleveland Browns, talking about showing solidarity with the police force, that's bullshit, because the police force didn't show no solidarity with nobody with the Tamir Rice case. That's how the cops got off. So y'all can kiss my ass with all that there. Y'all can kiss my ass straight up with all that though. Right. But Ezekiel Elliott, stay away from the white girls, man. You might not have learned your lesson. You might need a stronger Negro wake-up call. I doubt O.J. Simpson, Tiger Woods ain't learned this lesson. I don't know what the hell wrong with y'all Negroes. Well, I do know what's wrong with y'all Negroes. Y'all, a lot of y'all got Jackie Robinson syndrome. To reiterate, Jackie Robinson syndrome is for all the Negroes who feel like they have to cape for white people and will literally put themselves in harm's way to prove to white people that they are good enough to be around white people, even when they don't have to. And they have no complete reason to have to do that. Like Jackie Robinson put himself in harm's way to be a part of white baseball when he had a perfectly good black baseball league to be a part of. Jackie Robinson was the first black baseball player to sell out black baseball. The first one. Let's stop talking about Jackie Robinson. Let's start talking about Rube Foster. Rube Foster. Rube Foster. A real American baseball hero who created his own league for his own people. And we're sitting up here celebrating a sellout in Jackie Robinson. So all you Negroes who be caping and putting yourselves in compromised positions to show white people that you are part of and you can do it and you're equal, y'all got Jackie Robinson syndrome. Straight up. I have no idea what's wrong with y'all. But hey, it is what it is. But that's enough about football. That's enough about Ezekiel Elliott and all these things. Just remember, keep your black penis to black women. All you men at this. And stop. And once again, before I get off this football thing, before I get totally off, once again, black America, black parents, let's stop indoctrinating our kids in sports before we even develop their damn minds. Like, their mind will take them farther than their athletic ability. And if you don't believe me, then why the hell the owners make more money than the players? That's all I got to say about that. So let's get to a little tennis news, right? Let's get to a little tennis news. Shout out to Sloane Stephens, who won the 2017 U.S. Open doll, going down. Now, originally, my story was going to be that Sloane Stephens upset Venus Williams. Now, let me put in more context. 83-ranked Sloane Stephens upset number 9 seed Venus Williams. You know, I reported last week that Venus Williams dropped beans on old girl last week. But this week she ran into a black wall, which was Sloane Stephens. But I ain't mad at Venus for losing because she lost to Sloane. And so basically Sloane beat her in 3 sets. The first set, Sloane won 6-1. Second set, Venus won 0-6. The third set, Sloane won 7-5. And basically the match lasted 2 hours and 7 minutes. And that advanced Sloane from the semifinal to the final, where she dropped them fangs on Madison Keys. Now, her and Madison Keys supposed to be a homegirl, but hell, Madison Keys ain't black, so we don't give a damn about no Madison Keys like that right about now. So, yeah, I said it. So, in the final round, Sloane Stephens beat Madison Keys. She dropped them fangs on her. 2 sets, 6-3, 6-0. On Saturday to win the U.S. Open after coming back from foot surgery that had her out for 11 months for a stress fracture in her foot. So, and she was ranked 83rd. So she joins Clem Clijsters as the only unseeded U.S. Open women's champion in open air to win. And that was back in 1968. So she came from outside looking in, ranked 83rd, came back in, dropping them things on everybody. Nobody really gave her a chance to win. Sloane Stephens came back and won. I mean, that's black girl magic. That's black women excellence. I mean, y'all got to give it up for our black women. I love black women. I love black women. Sloane Stephens, 24-year-old. I remember when you came on the scene, did your thing. So me and my studio artist just want to show Sloane Stephens some love. So y'all give her a round of applause for Sloane Stephens. That girl good. That girl good. That girl good. Yeah. All right. Sloane Stephens, man. One time for you. Going out there. Doing your thing. U.S. Open 2017 champion. I wish you much, much more success. That's black girl magic. That's black girl magic. Black women are the greatest. All right, so last night, the other day, I'm listening to The Right Time by Bomani Jones. Like, it's one of my shows I like to watch. I like to listen to, like the Dan Lebatard show, and I like The Right Time with Bomani Jones. To me, I feel like those are the only two that really keep it real. The other shows kind of whack. The sports shows, they're kind of whack, but those two I tune into. So I'm listening to The Right Time. Bomani Jones, and he interviews Lonzo Ball. Boring ass interview. Not on Bomani's part. Bomani was doing his best to get the questions and the answers out of him. Just Lonzo Ball was a boring ass interview. But nevertheless, I learned about a show that they have on Facebook called Ball in the Family. And so I'm like, Facebook, man, Facebook ain't got no shows. So they're talking about a whole platform, basically Facebook doing reality shows and streaming and things like that, right? So last night I go to Facebook and I type in Ball in the Family, and I sit back and I watch the first three episodes. It's a straight show. You know, it ain't stupid. I will say that it's not a stupid show. The camera's following the guys around on their journey from, you know, especially Lonzo's journey coming from UCLA, going into the NFL, into the NBA through the draft, and then his brother's coming along. So, you have LaVar Ball, who's the father. You have Lonzo Ball, the oldest son. You have Jello. I can't even say his real name. Jello. They call him Jello. Margello, whatever. L'Angelo. Excuse me. L'Angelo Ball. Yeah, L'Angelo Ball, then you have LaMelo Ball. So L'Angelo Ball is the 18-year-old senior that's now going to UCLA, and that's L'Angelo. And LaMelo is the 15-year-old who's still in high school. And Lonzo Ball is the oldest son who is now the L.A. Laker and their first pick in the draft. So it's showing, you know, showing the family. You get to meet LaVar Ball's family. You get to meet the mother, Tina Ball, and you get to meet Tina Ball's parents. You get to meet LaVar's father, and you get to meet Tina's parents, her mother and her father. And they seem like a nice clan, and LaVar has his basically his whole family connected to his brothers, cousins, uncles, nieces, nephews. The whole Ball family is eating. And that's how you do it, though. Now, I ain't gonna lie, I wish all the members was black. I do. Yes, I do wish all the members of the Ball family were black. But nevertheless, I can't take that back. It ain't my business. And it ain't really that serious for me to go in and try to push that issue or be mad at nobody. Hey, it is what it is. Hey, but I do think that that big baller brand, I look forward to be something big in the future. One thing I did like about that is showing how LaVar Ball, no matter what y'all say about LaVar Ball, that man loves his family. That man loves his boys. And that man will go above and beyond for his boys. And the biggest thing about the whole Ball thing is people are so fucked up that because you don't like what he said, because LaVar Ball said he could beat Michael Jordan one-on-one. So, fuck Michael Jordan. Yeah, I said it. Fuck Michael Jordan. Now, do we believe LaVar Ball can beat Michael Jordan in the 1-on-1? No. But we shouldn't be getting mad because he said, why do you have an emotional attachment to Michael Jordan? Why do you have an emotional attachment to them cheap-ass shoes? Them shoes that we pay up to $150, $200, sometimes $300 for that are only worth $15. But I ain't going to get up on my Jordan rant just yet. But LaVar Ball do really care about his boys, and he's doing what he needs to do to be about his boys. But I love the way that he's incorporating his whole family into it. It's a family thing, and it's a family business, and black people need to have family enterprises going on. Once again, I wish it was all black, it's an enterprise nevertheless. And I don't have an issue with the Big Baller brand, and I don't have an issue with the Ball family. They try to paint LaVar Ball out as a man who hates women, who's a womanizer, who has issues with women. I definitely disagree with that. As an advocate for violence against women and domestic sexual violence and the prevention of sexual and domestic violence, I adamantly disagree that LaVar Ball has an issue with women, that he hates women, that he looks down on women. I adamantly disagree with that. I think those scandalous-ass white women in the sports media are trying to paint that man like that. And that's why shows like mine exist, so we can give alternative stories and paint our people in a better light. LaVar Ball cool with me, and LaVar Ball get the fix, stamp of approval. And I don't think he a bad guy. So he talked, LaVar Ball, just that uncle that talked to damn much. You wish he shut up sometime. But other than that, he cool. He cool. So go to Facebook, type in Ball in the Family, and that way you can learn more about the Ball family. One thing we did learn about, you know, learn more about L'Angelo and learn more about Tina. Tina had a major stroke, that left her whole right side paralyzed. And so now LaVar Ball is doing what he can to help rehab his wife. And the man is going 100% in with his children and going 100% in with his wife. I mean, they always like to say black men ain't shit, but that's one black man who standing up in the paint. So, hats off to LaVar Ball. So make sure y'all check out Ball and the Family. All right. Moving on. Like Maya, we be moving on. Yeah. So if you haven't heard, Michael Bennett, number 72 defensive lineman of the Seattle Seahawks, after the Floyd Mayweather fight, had an encounter with Las Vegas police, which left basically Bennett being handcuffed as well as, you know, harassed. Of course, he's harassed by police. Handcuffed and a gun being pointed to his head. Now, the police department is trying to say that they did not point a gun towards his head and all these things, but new footage and new video footage is coming out showing otherwise. So, basically, some commotions happened. They were in the club after the Mayweather fight. Some things happened, and people end up running, and police saw a big black man running and came after him. So let me read this from TMZ Sports. TMZ has obtained video of NFL superstar Michael Bennett being handcuffed by police while lying face down on the concrete in Las Vegas, and you can hear him screaming that he's innocent. The video was shot outside Dre's nightclub on August 26th. You can see one officer take a position on the balcony while another cop handcuffs Bennett on street level. During the incident, Bennett screams out, "I wasn't doing nothing, man. I was here with my friends. They told us to get out. Everybody ran." Bennett claims the officer pulled a gun on him and threatened to blow his fucking head off. But now you see that in our footage, at the time the video begins, Bennett is already being cuffed. Right? So in the initial video, Bennett was already cuffed. But they have another video that is one that I'm looking at right here, but it's another video that's out that's actually showing the officer pointing the gun at Bennett. So first the officer said they didn't do it, but now we have evidence showing that the officers did point the gun at Michael Bennett. And this is coming off the heels of people telling NFL players to shut up and play football because this type of stuff don't happen to NFL players. They got too much money. But we all know that no matter how much money you got, as long as you black, white folk gonna see you as a nigga. Trick Daddy made the song called America a long time ago. If you ain't heard that song, go listen to it. Trick Daddy America. Hey, man, you could be president, you still a nigga. You could be a billionaire, still a nigga. Right? No matter what type of status that you gain within this system of white supremacy and racism in American capitalistic society, no matter what status you think you gain, you can't change your skin. You're still going to be labeled and considered a nigga. So you need to understand that and stop caping for white people and stop trying to be down with white America and be the best black person that you can be and be all about uplifting and empowering your people as a black person. But at the same time, athletes have a place to play, right? I'm not expecting my athletes to be my activists, but I do expect my athletes to be advocates and have some part in the activism. If my athlete is not out there on the forefront, fist raised, screaming and yelling, I'm not mad. It's how is he using his resources to help the cause? Now, I expect my people who dedicate their lives and their studies to becoming activists to be our activists. I want those people on the front line. I don't want my athlete who just decided to get mad at one point and decide to do something. I do want my athlete to be able to use their resources. I would not reject my athlete as far as being an athlete, an activist, as long as my athlete is thoroughly studied. As long as my athlete is not afraid of losing their jobs. That's one thing that Jim Brown was saying last week that a lot of people kind of missed, even though his whole statement was dumb as hell, but that one part. Because when an athlete is an activist, the thing that's held over the athlete's head is that can be taken away from them, and their activism can be slowed down by them not being able to be a part of the team, them not being, them being kicked off, being blackballed like Kaepernick is now. So Kaepernick wants to play football. But in order to play football, basically Kaepernick has to repent. Or enough social pressure from the outside causes the NFL to fold. Now, that opening game, as many people that used to watch opening games in the NFL didn't watch, it was down 21%. It didn't get over 25 million views, which they normally get. So people are not watching the NFL. Something is happening. But Michael Bennett's situation goes into what Kaepernick was talking about police brutality. Like I just told you, the citizens on patrol, the slave patrol, their job is to protect the state and the landlord and the ward of the state and the property of the state. They're not there to protect and serve the people, especially the black people, especially the slaves. They see us as our slaves. Their job is to keep us docile, oppressed, and if we get out of line, they're going to suppress us and then enslave us, because prison is legal slavery. Remember that. This ain't your average sports show. I'm telling you, this is not your average sports show. You're going to get your mind right on here. This is the fix. So I'm fixing to get your mind right. You dig? That's how we do it. So update on Michael Bennett. Of course, you know they're going to handle that in court and all those things there. But there's new video evidence, and we're going to keep talking about it. We're going to keep pushing the issue. And I want my black people to be supporting our black people across the board, support black businesses across the board, so our athletes can eventually get to a point where they're playing in a league that's built and owned and operated by black people only, for us, by us. And we shoot our fingers and tell these other leagues, shoot birds at these other leagues. Shoot strong, stone cold Steve Austin birds at them. Tell them to kiss our ass. Because remember, the NFL, nor the NBA, nor Major League Baseball, nor none of these sports or entertainment entities, they don't like black people. They just like what we produce. Remember that. They like what we can do and what we can produce. They don't like us. Remember that. And if they see you as an asset, they will moderately protect you. But once you don't become an asset, they'll throw your ass in the street. Remember that. So Michael Bennett, I'm not happy that that happened to you. That's unfortunate that that has happened to you. But hopefully this is a push for our athletes to start our own league. And remember, the police is not our friends. Like Dead Prez told us on that album, Let's Get Free. Can you relate? We're living in the police state. All right. You know I like to end this show with my weekly rant. So, the target of my weekly rant this week is a couple folk. I don't know who the hell I want to start with. I want to start with Ray Lewis. Hi, everybody. My name is Ray Lewis, and I'm a first-class sellout. See, behind the camera, I might say and do one thing, but in front of the camera, I'm going to make sure that I dance and jig and do whatever these white folks say, and even going as far as not telling the truth on camera, or doing my best to evade questions on camera, because I'm motivated to be a part of white America. I love white people. I'm Ray Lewis, and I love Steve Bisciotti. You seen that picture when I was hugging him from behind? When the camera went off, I kissed him on his neck. I'm Ray Lewis, and I'm motivated to sell out. Black people, I'm not for you. I'm against you. I'm against you, black people. Ray Lewis, I am a sellout. Now, I'm doing that because Ray Lewis, earlier this week, went on Inside the NFL on Showtime and basically stated that NASA, who's Colin Kaepernick's girlfriend, who's a media personality, that NASA, she tweeted out a picture of Ray Lewis hugging Steve Bisciotti from behind, which is suspect anyway. I don't give a damn how much money you making, you're suspect. For that. That's one of them Puff Daddy pictures that Ray took. But that picture was on top of, the whole picture was two pictures in one. So the top half of the picture was Ray Lewis suspectly hugging Steve Bisciotti, and then it was the scene from Django Unchained with Steven hugging his master. Ray Lewis, you are Steven. So Ray Lewis went on Inside the NFL saying that picture was the reason why Colin Kaepernick wasn't signed by the Ravens, which is straight bullshit. Then he had the nerve to say behind the scenes that he was fighting hard to get Colin Kaepernick signed. Right. Stop lying. Now, I don't know what you said behind closed doors, but we know what we see on cameras. And on camera, you are not fighting for him to get signed. On camera, you're trying to fight for him to stop what he's doing, curl his tail, and come back and tell white people that he's sorry and be like you. Ray Lewis, you are sellout. You should be ashamed of yourself. Your father should have wore a condom. Your mother should have swallowed, or your father should have pulled out or something. Ray Lewis, you are a fucking disgrace to black America. You're a disgrace to black men. You're a disgrace to Baltimore. You're a disgrace to Miami, University of Miami, wherever you come from. You are a disgrace. And you really believe the stuff that you're doing. Are you really believing that? And that's the problem, Ray Lewis. First of all, Colin Kaepernick is not a criminal like you are. Let's get that straight. Colin Kaepernick do not have to take the same means that you did because you were hanging with the wrong crowd. You were making the wrong decisions. Your case turned up with two men being killed, stabbed to death. That's what happened to you, Ray Lewis. Colin Kaepernick took a stance against injustice to black people in America, and you're going to say that was the wrong place to take it. Well, hell, what's the right place? What's the right way to protest against injustices, Ray Lewis? Since you're the social expert, since you're the activist expert, Ray Lewis, tell us what's the proper way to protest. See, Ray Lewis, your problem is you can't take the cape off. See, your problem is you feel that because you had the jive and dance and shook and yes, boss. I sure love you, boss. I's Ray Lewis, and I sure love you, boss. That's what you had to do to get back into the good graces. But basically, the NFL is telling us that you can do anything except stand up against white supremacy. When you stand up against white supremacy, that's when the NFL draws the line. And the NFL will send all the minions and all these goons and the sellouts after you. That's why you got LeSean McCoy, Jerry Rice, and all these other fuckboys. Yeah, all y'all fuckboys. Y'all are some whole holes out here. Ray Lewis, Franco Harris, Jason Whitlock, Kid from Kid and Play, all y'all. Jerry Rice, Tim Brown, Jim Brown. Y'all some whole holes out here. And You all keep talking about what's wrong with the next generation. What's wrong with the young generation? What's wrong with the millennials? Look at the parents. Look at your parents and your grandparents are sellouts. What you mean what's wrong? What you mean what's wrong? Your grandparents and your parents are two generations of black people who sold out across the board. That's why we're in a lot of this mess that we're in. Yes, white supremacy, redlining, all of that stuff has a lot to do with what's going on. Welfare, all that has a lot to do with it. But the decisions that black folk made and keep making, it's like the older they get, especially our activists, the ones supposed to be activists, the older they get, the more they start selling out. And they want us to love, just to hold on to stuff they did in the 50s and the 60s. Hell no. Y'all selling out now. We don't respect that. And we're going to tell you right now, you old fuckers not going to get no respect from us young Thundercats with all that selling up. That's just not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Y'all, you're not trying to convince us of how white folk this. It's a systematic thing. Y'all keep selling up. And Ray Lewis, you are part of that systematic selling up. And they don't even like you. Like Franco Harris. Running back Franco Harris, who's most known for the Immaculate Reception, who was a part of the 1970s Super Bowl winning Steelers teams, and he come out talking down, talking against Kaepernick, and it's unfortunate. So a recent protest by a group of Cleveland Browns players called a backlash with local police and EMS workers who said that they would not participate in upcoming pregame flag ceremony. Franco Harris said that America certainly has social issues that must be dealt with, but Kaepernick and other players should find a different platform for their protest. Then he also went on to say, now peep this. one thing that made Franco Harris a whole about this one is he ain't talking about what he'll do. He talking about what other people do. Nah, don't bring nobody else name into this Franco Harris. Don't bring Jack Lambert name or Mean Joe Green name into this. Let Jack Lambert and Mean Joe Green speak for themselves. But this is what Franco Harris is saying. And Franco, man, I'll beat your ass, Franco Harris. I will beat your ass. I will beat your ass. I whoop your ass, Frank Harris. So basically this is what he said. If someone, and I'll tell you why I said I whoop his ass after I say this. He said, if someone has a certain stance that they would like to take, that's fine. When he puts on that suit, when he steps out on that field, it's not more than just him. It's his teammates. It's the NFL. It's the fans. Nigga, Franco, when black being black, you was a black man before football even gave a damn about you, and football still don't give a shit about you now, and you still a black man. You cannot change your blackness because you play football. Putting on an NFL uniform or being a part of any sports entertainment franchise is not more important than your race, your people, your blackness. You cannot get away from your blackness. I don't care. You can try to Sammy Sosa yourself all you want. Sammy Sosa looked like a sick something. Sammy Sosa has mental issues, and so do you, Franco Harris. You guys really have mental issues if you really believe that all of this caping is going to make you more favorable in the eyes of white people. White people don't like you, and black people have the right to stand up, and we can use any damn platform we want. And Franco Harris, if you don't like it, come get these hands. You can get these hands, Franco Harris. Your old ass needs your ass for saying what you're saying. Then he goes on to say, we had two of the meanest guys in football who I think would have dealt with it in that way. That would have been Joe Green and Jack Lambert, Harris said. So basically, you saying what Colin Kaepernick did was so egregious that Jack Lambert and Joe Green going to have to jump the man. They going to jump Colin Kaepernick. So what you going to do, Franco? Let's talk about what you going to do. What you going to do, Franco? Because you sitting up here caping and sitting up here signing up for other people. What you going to do? Not a damn thing, Franco. You ain't gonna do nothing now, and you ain't gonna do nothing then. And me and Joe Green and Jack Lambert ain't gonna do nothing now, and they won't gonna do nothing then. And me and Joe Green can get these hands, and Jack Lambert can get these hands. And then me and Joe and Jack Lambert a white dude. So if me and Joe Green really gonna go that far to be capable for white people, fuck him too, right? Because right now, white supremacy has declared war on Black America. We're at war. That's why they are unjustly killing us. And Colin Kaepernick is standing up, taking a stand for the right for black people to be alive. And these fuckboys keep trying to tell us to be quiet. Think about this. They're telling us to be quiet and say nothing while we're killed off. We're supposed to say nothing. Athletes are supposed to be quiet. They want athletes to be quiet when it's not in the best interest of the masses. But they don't want athletes to be, all right, so how about this? If athletes can't talk about the unjust killing of unarmed black people in America, or just the unjust treatment, white supremacy, racism, oppression against black people in America, don't put no fucking pink on in October for breast cancer. Fuck breast cancer if we ain't talking about the rights of black people. We ain't talking about no damn breast cancer. What the hell is wearing pink socks? How is that helping more people learn anything about breast cancer wearing pink socks? Huh? If standing up for the rights of black people is not a just cause, standing up or trying to bring attention to breast cancer ain't a just cause. Because you ain't doing nothing but wearing pink. You ain't learned nothing yet. You ain't saved one life. And if you got a problem with my statement, that's because you yourself don't value black lives. I don't give a damn about nobody wearing pink or doing nothing for breast cancer. It's not that serious. But don't tell me or these black athletes or other black people that we can't take a stand against the injustices that happen against us. First, don't try to convince us that these injustices don't happen. Then don't try to tell me that I can't take a stand. I have to be quiet and just be an athlete. But when I put that pink on and we're talking about breast cancer, you have no issue with it. You don't want me to just be an athlete then. Or like with these natural disasters that are happening, nobody told any player from the Houston Texans, hey, you're just an athlete. Don't go help those people. hey, you're just an athlete. Don't speak up. Don't talk about the things that's going on in Houston. Nobody said that. But when it comes to talking about the injustices that happens to black people in this country, we got to be quiet. Y'all is crazy. Jason Whitlock, I forgot about you. You can get these hands too. So Jason Whitlock, he's on a personal mission to try to discredit and talk down on Colin Kaepernick. And nobody's really listening to him until he made outrageous things. That's why he keep doing outrageous things. So his latest outrageous thing, he had a Colin Kaepernick impersonator with a wig, a beard, and the black glove. Looked like blackface. Well, basically it's blackface. And said, hey, I had Colin Kaepernick stop by. Basically, Jason Whitlock is mocking what's happening to black people as if his fat ass ain't black. Fox News, I will be the first. Fox News, you have to fire Jason Whitlock. Fox Sports News, you have to fire Jason Whitlock. He has to be fired. Black people, Jason Whitlock should not be allowed to walk down the streets. If you're black and Jason Whitlock comes into your vicinity, black people, Jason Whitlock should not be allowed to exist amongst us. If he comes around us, whoop his ass. Harass him. Do whatever you need to do to get him from around. Send him back to white folk. Jason Whitlock should not be allowed to exist around black people. And all you black people at Fox Sports, y'all are soft. Shannon Sharp is the only one who will speak up against this bullshit. Chris Broussard, you soft. Eric Davis, you soft. All the rest of y'all, Chris Carter, all y'all soft. Skip Bayless, all you other people. Now, why wasn't there any big segments of any backlash from Fox Sports, anybody, against what Jason Whitlock did? The only thing you seen was tweets by Shannon Sharp. But where's the segments? Like, Fox Sports will give you segments on everything. Well, why are there no segments on that? But don't worry about it. The Fix got one. The Fix got one. Jason Whitlock. Oh, really? Kid from Kid and Play was the person that was impersonating Jason, Colin Kaepernick. That's why I say Kid is a ho-ho. Now, we know Kid, we know you starving for attention. We know you starving for attention. You ain't had a hit in over 30 years, probably 40. We know you starving for attention. Play out here doing his thing. Play as a professor, smooth cat out here doing his thing. Kid, you starving for attention. But now you on the coon train. Now you on the ho-ho list, Kid. You have made the whole list, right? You guys got to take them tapes off. White America does not like you. They will kill you when they get through with you and y'all your caping. And for Jason Whitlock, for you to be going this far at Colin Kaepernick for standing up to help your dumb ass for something that will benefit you, because his stance will benefit your fat ass. You might not get it, but his stance will benefit you as a black person. But you probably don't think you black, though. You probably think that you're a different type of black and all these things. Jason Whitlock, you don't love yourself. Look at you. Look at your body, man. You eat yourself into depression. You have a mental problem. You have a strong mental problem. Kid have a mental problem. Ray Lewis has a mental issue. Franco Harris has a mental issue. Jerry Rice and his fried chicken face mask have a mental issue. Tim Brown. All you football players, present and past football players, athletes, period, entertainers, black people who have a problem with black people standing up for the right for black people to be alive, y'all got fucking problems. Y'all got problems. Hurricane Irma, come get them. Go get them. Y'all crazy. You would never be loved by white America. Never be loved by them. Why would, think about it. They see y'all selling out, they see y'all selling out to your own people. You think they're really going to give you a chance to really accept you and let you all the way into their world? When they see you sell out your own people, you will go above and beyond to turn your back on your own people. You really think white people love you? You really think white people respect you? You really think that? And they see you as sell out? They see that you were shit on your own people for acceptance from white people. Y'all got issues, man. Y'all got issues. I wouldn't even waste no prayers on y'all cats. Whatever happens to you all, happens to you all. Don't come looking for us to help you. Now, so the last part of my weekly rant, I talked about it last week, but I want to go in a little more because I was looking at this list a little more. And it's the 50 greatest athletes of all time. And I thought about it. Neither Tiger Woods nor Kobe Bryant is on this list of the 50 greatest athletes of all time put together by the undefeated.com. Now, they have number one, I'll give you 1 through 50. 1 is Michael Jordan, 2 Jackie Robinson, 3 Muhammad Ali, 4 William Hayes, 5 Jesse Owens, 6 Serena Williams, 7 Hank Aaron, 8 Simone Biles, 9 Gabby Douglas, 10 Jerry Rice, Magic Johnson, Walter Payton, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Usain Bolt, Venus Williams, Shaquille O'Neal, Julius Erving, Satchel Paige, Emmitt Smith, Gary Sayers, Wilmer Rudolph, Pele, Joe Louis, Sugar Ray Leonard, Bo Jackson, Will Chamberlain, Jackie John Kersey, Steph Curry, LeBron James, Jim Brown, Michael Jordan, who is this? Man, this thing blocking. Not Joe Louis. It's hard for me to read this thing right here, but Carl Lewis. Oh yeah, Carl Lewis. It's hard for me to read this. So Carl Lewis, Florence Griffith Joyner, Herschel Walker, George Foreman, Bill Russell, Ken Griffey Jr., Arthur Ashe, Jackie Robinson. No, that's not Jackie Robinson. That's Sugar Ray Robinson, Roberto Clemente, Ernie Banks, Larry Fitzgerald, Reggie Jackson, Barry Sanders, Joe Frazier, David Robinson, Derek Jeter, Earl Campbell, Isaiah Thomas, and Tim Duncan. First of all, Tim Duncan, too low. Second of all, I don't think Earl Campbell should be on this list. I don't think David Robinson should be on this list. I don't think Larry Fitzgerald should be on this list. I don't think Ernie Banks should be on this list. Sugar Ray Robinson is too low on this list. Bill Russell is too low on. How the hell you win 11 championships in 12 years and be ranked the 36th greatest black athlete of all time for Simone Biles and Dak and Gabby Douglas in the top 10? Hank Aaron, he's cool. Jesse Owens should not be in the top 5. Jesse Owens cannot be ranked ahead of Usain Bolt when we're talking about track. We only really talk about that one great track meet Jesse Owens had. And yes, it's historic and it's in front of Hitler and all that stuff there. Cool, but that really didn't stop white supremacy or nothing. So we're talking about pure athleticism. There's no way Jesse Owens can really be ahead of Usain Bolt in the track world. Matter of fact, if you're not top 10 conversation in your sport, you shouldn't even be considered for this list. So that means Larry Fitzgerald shouldn't be on this list. That means Earl Campbell, he mentioned top 10, but David Robinson shouldn't be on this list. Barry Sanders is too low. Barry Sanders should be ahead of Emmitt Smith. Gale Sayers should not be on this list. Venus is cool to be on the list. Simone Biles and Gabby Douglas should not be on this list. Maybe Simone Biles, not Gabby Douglas. But hell, if you're going to put them, why not put Dominique Dawes? Like, they're talking about inspiration, impact on society. Why not Dominique Dawes? Dominique Dawes opened up the door for Gabby Douglas and Simone Biles. What you mean? You got Jackie Joyner Kersey. She cool. I don't know, man. I just don't think Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is not the greatest black athlete of all time. Michael Jordan is one of the greatest basketball players, the greatest two guard of all time. But Michael Jordan is not the greatest black athlete of all time. Y'all give Michael Jordan credit for winning 6 championships, but look down on Bill Russell for winning 11. How the hell do you do that? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, like, he balled out. He's at 13 on this list. Like, Jesse Owens is too high on this list. I can see Serena is basically the greatest tennis player of all time. I can see Jerry Rice being on the list. Number 10, I don't know about number 10. Muhammad Ali should be higher than Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson if we talk about top 10 black baseball players of all time, will we really talk about Jackie Robinson? Now, you know me, I don't really care too much of Jackie Robinson. He'll sell out. But I just say, take a look at this list of the undefeated again. This is one of the reasons why we have to tell our own stories. They just took names of people who were popular and put them in this. Like Sugar Ray Leonard is ahead of Sugar Ray Robinson. Sugar Ray Leonard was cool, but he wasn't that good. He really wasn't that good. Wilt Chamberlain is too low. How the hell you have Steph Curry? LeBron James went to the finals 7 years straight. Y'all have Steph Curry. Man, Steph Curry only had one good finals, and that's last year. Steph Curry had two good regular seasons. Steph Curry is on a great team, but Steph Curry is not that good to be on there. And plus, he's not even the best player on the team. Kevin Durant better than him. And in my opinion, Draymond Green, the best overall player on that team. I know I wasted a little time on this undefeated thing, and I probably should have left it off my list, but damn it, I want to talk about it anyway. It's just another reminder of what we are in the world of sports and why we have to tell our own stories, why we have to stop just accepting other people just giving us these stories and giving us this stuff, man. That's why The Fix exists. Sports podcast from a black perspective, so we can give our stories so these white boys can stop putting these interpretations. Not only these white boys, but these white boys and these black dudes who think they're white, who act like they're white and want to be white, can stop giving these whitewashed interpretations of our athletes and stop demonizing our athletes and all these things. Like listening to, what was the dude, Clinton Yates, black dude, ESPN, when we were first talking about the Ezekiel Elliott case. And despite all of the evidence in there saying that Ezekiel Elliott was black, I mean was innocent, and they couldn't find any evidence to prove the Tiffany Thompson's claim, he's saying, well, if a woman says she's been violated, I'm just going to believe the woman. I'm just going to believe the woman off top, just going to believe the woman. I'm always going to believe the woman, no matter what. Boy, you're not even trying. You're not even trying to help create a better culture. You're not even trying. What you are doing, though, Clinton Yates, you caping. You caping for the affection of white folk and white women, and they don't like you. They don't like you. They use you. They use black people. We're tools to them. We're tools to them. And we don't get that. If y'all don't listen to nothing else I say, learn that white America does not love white supremacy. I should say white supremacy will never accept black people. We will never be favorable in their eyes, and we have to be able to see that and stop caping. Take off the capes. If you're going to put the cape on for your own people. It's time for us to build ourselves up, empower ourselves, love ourselves, be with us, for us, by us. Black people, it's time for us to rise. We got to support our own, be with our own, love our own, and never, ever, ever turn our back on each other. And support black businesses. Make sure you support black businesses. That's what we all about. I mean, it's The Fix. It's your weekly fix for sports from a black perspective. Hey, man, remember, we're sponsored by On the Shoulders of Giants. You can visit www.ontheshoulders.org. or www.ontheshouldersone.com to learn more about On the Shoulders of Giants, which brings African history at your fingertips. History and information that's designed to inspire and instill pride, self-worth, and just love from a black perspective. When you see your ancestors, your heroes being great, it makes you want to be great too. So that's On the Shoulders of Giants. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow the Freedom Train Network on Twitter. Make sure you follow the Freedom Train Network on follow Freedom Train on Twitter at Freedom Train Net. We're Freedom Train Net on Twitter and Freedom Train Network on Instagram. Like our Freedom Train Network Facebook page. You can subscribe to the Freedom Train Network overall for the Freedom Train podcast at iTunes or Google Play. Just type in Freedom Train podcast. The Fix soon will be available on iTunes and Google Play, so stay tuned for that. And you can follow me personally, Joseph Ward. You can follow me on Twitter at JoeWard84. You can follow me on Twitter, give me your thoughts, comments, and everything. I will reply back. I'm not on Twitter as much, but you can follow me on Twitter. And, you know, you go down at JoeWard84. Tell me your thoughts. Give me your discussions. Also, man, leave comments in the comment section. Tell me what y'all think about The Fix. How you think it's going down? What's going on? And if what we're doing is even live and relevant. But, you know how we get down, man. I'm Joseph Ward, and I love to do what I do. And as black people in black America, we have to stop relying on others to give us what we need. All these means, all these outlets to tell our own stories. Just tell our own stories and just stop letting people put words in our mouths, and create stories for us. Let's dictate our own narratives. Black power, peace, peace out. Yeah!
I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back.
Rip his heart out, I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me.